Genesis chapter 9, verse 1 through 17, it's a long story. It's not the whole chapter, but I'd like to read verse 1 through 17 as our text, and we will be listening to the story of Noah and his family and God's covenant with him. Let's pray before we listen to God's story. Dear Heavenly Father, one more time, we are trying to give our heart to you and focus on the Word, not ourselves. So would you please come in and help us so that we will be able to understand, we'll be able to get something out of the text, and we'll be able to understand your plan and your covenant with us through Christ from our text. And bless us and be with us, Lord. And as I'm going to preach, also I need your help. Would you please help me so that I and all the church members will be in your mercy and grace this morning. We pray, your Son, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Genesis chapter 9, verse 1 through 17 is found in page 8 from the Pew Bibles. Page 8 from the Pew Bibles, Genesis 9 and 1 through 17. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. The fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every bird of the heavens, upon everything that creeps on the ground and all the fish of the sea. Into your hand they are delivered. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you, and as I give you the green plants, I give you everything. But you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is, its blood. And for your lifeblood I will require a reckoning. From every beast I will require it, and from man, from his fellow men, I will require a reckoning for the life of man. Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed, for God made man in his own image. And you, be fruitful and multiply, increase greatly on the earth and multiply in it. Then God said to Noah and his sons with him, Behold, I establish my covenant with you and your offspring after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds and livestock and every beast of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark. It is for every beast of the earth. I establish my covenant with you, that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, This is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you. For all future generations I have set my bow in the clouds, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds of the earth and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth. God said to Noah, This is the sign of the covenant that I have established with me and all flesh that is on the earth. This is the word of God. We stop here. Many, many years ago, it's long, I guess about almost 15 or 16, 17 years ago, when I lived in Detroit, I found an interesting advertisement, buy one, get one free. That was a cell phone commercial advertisement. It seemed that it was a good deal for me because I was a student at Calvin Seminary, and while my family lived in Detroit and about 2 or 3 hours driving distance, so I got 2 cell phones, one for me and one for my family, especially for Jenny. That was my mistake. Few months later, I tried to cancel my account, but I realized that I couldn't because of a paper, the paper. it was not just a paper, but it the contract paper that I signed. So I was stuck with that company for 2 years, although I didn't like their service at all. Now, the word contract in our world means a lot to us. It is a legally binding agreement between two or sometimes more than two parties. Now, signing the contract paper means to agree with establishing a special relationship between or with each other. Now, the contract paper was not just a paper, but it is a relationship paper, and sign that one. It requires you and me and us many responsibilities. Now, if we commit ourselves to the relationship because we signed it, like a building contract or cell phone contract or many other forms of contract, no matter what you have any excuses, you must carry out the responsibilities. That's our job. If we break the relationship, then we will be asked to pay the penalty. Let's think about this. What if we have the contract paper which was signed by God? We didn't sign it, but God signed it. Having that question in your mind, let's listen to Noah's story. We found the name Noah here. We already know this famous man in the Bible. The name Noah and his ark and his family, ark-making story in Genesis are very well-known story. Even among the non-Christians, people know that story. Now, I was really fascinated by Noah's story when I heard first time. We were fascinated by Noah's story. Same thing when we heard from the first time when you were in kindergarten or sometimes in your elementary or middle school, when you became a Christian. Now, sometimes we wonder then, why Noah? Why did God choose Noah? Then our Bible describes the reason and why God chose him as follows. In Genesis 6 and verse 9, Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God. From Genesis 6 9, we have three things that we can talk about today. A little bit, it's not my main point, but Bible describes him as first righteous and second blameless. Third, and he's the one who walked with God. Now, he was a righteous man. Literally, that means innocent among many unrighteous and the wicked people. That's why he was really special. Now, based on Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 5 through 9, it says, a righteous man avoids sin. A righteous man does good things to his neighbors. That's a righteous man. We assume that Noah's life was like that. And then blameless means perfect. The mostly the word blameless is applied to perfect sacrificial animal we bring to God. That's blameless. So blameless is required to stand in front of God. Noah had that qualification. So like Enoch in Genesis 5, verse 22 and 24, Noah walked with God. That's an interesting passage, right? Now, we can talk hours and hours about these three qualifications of Noah and three words, righteousness and blameless and walking with God. I think there will be a sermon. By reading this qualification, at least we know these three things, we can conclude that Noah had a really good relationship with God. So God has called Noah because of Noah's dedicated life and deep and strong relationship with him. Devoting his life to God and having a good relationship with God was considered very special. And in Genesis 6 and verse 5, and it describes why. It says, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So everybody was thinking bad things. And the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. So the Lord said, I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land, and men and animals and creeping things and the birds of the heavens, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. It's not Noah's, but God's decision. Probably, think about this way, it will be easy for us to be holy and righteous Christians when we come and gather together at the church and worshiping God at this moment. We want to be holy in front of God's presence. But we know that that will be kind of difficult to be holy and righteous if we go to the world, if we are surrounded by the people and culture and the world, and everybody's looking at us. So sometimes we probably having a difficult time to pray in front of people. In Noah's time, the world was covered with man's wickedness. Everybody was like that. And the Bible describes that everyone's heart was filled with evil. Not just one time, it's all the time. Then imagine how it was difficult for Noah and his family to live differently, righteously, and holy. Noah must be singled out among many. Everyone looked at him, probably made fun of him. Among many temptations, think about that, hardships, lots of things out there. Noah could choose that one, many temptations. Everybody's doing that, hardships. Noah prioritized his relationship. In the center, focused his relationship with God. He fixed his eyes upon God. He fixed his heart upon God. Just thinking about Noah, we might ask these questions. Do we have a good relationship with Christ? Can we claim that? And how about this? Let's add more words at this question. In the middle of the wickedness of the world, if we go outside, we just see, oh, everything is so bad. People are just doing bad things. In that context, do we fix our eyes upon Christ? That is Hebrews 12 and verse 2. In the middle of evil world, do we focus our relationship with Christ, nothing else? Are we different than that of people in the world? Or are we the same people? They will not recognize us as God's people. People will not see that we are God's holy people. We have to think about that. Have you ever played with a Play-Doh, little tiny clay-looking, or clay before? I happened to see children playing with the Play-Doh. And then I did. I played with Play-Doh. With all different colors, and they made something they wanted to make. As they squeezed and mixed and twisted the Play-Doh, they formed it to be people, animals, cars, and other things that they could imagine. Now, yet, they were not just making something, but also they were destroying, crushing, and remolding it again and again until they were satisfied. Now, they can do whatever they want to do because they are the potters. Now, the Bible tells that God is the potter and we are the clay. Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 8. O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. As the potter of the world, as the creator of the world, God can do whatever he wants to do with his creatures. As many children, even my children, could do whatever they want to do with their clay dolls, and God saw how great man's wickedness on the earth was. God was grieving over the world, and God regretted, from our text, God regretted that he had made man on the earth. So think about that way. As the potter of the world, as God of righteousness, God could wipe out the entire world. He got the power, and God could create the whole new thing again and again because he got the power. But the story we found today is he decided not to wipe out the entire world because there was a man named Noah who had a good relationship with God and who was righteous and blameless man among the people of his time. Then let's think about these questions again. How does God feel about our world today compared to Noah's time? Does God feel that the modern world is better and is better than Noah's time, Noah's world? Do we really think that the world we are living in right now, 2014, is better than the dead of Noah's time? I think my answer is no. I don't think that the world, the modern world, is not better than that of the Noah's. I remember that Jesus says, Matthew 18 and verse 7, "Woe to the world because of the things that cause people to sin." That we see and hear more unbelievable things and stories every day. Kidnapping and abusing and shooting and killing, war and terrorism, immorality and corruptions and on and on, and all the stories that we cannot believe. People are so creative to make many bad things, so creative to be corruptive. So looking at the world is truly, truly covered with sins, many sins, unbelievable sins. So I guess the world is ready to be judged. The world is meant like a pretty much like a Noah's time to be judged, maybe the worst. The world, this world is filled with evil. This world is the world of wicked generation. Then another question is that, isn't it true that God expects to judge us? We expect God's judgment. I mean, is that the teaching of the Bible, God's judgment upon the wicked? I think that is a logical, thinking process. As the potter, God has the right, he has the right to wipe out the whole world again, but he doesn't want to wipe out, destroy the world again because he established his covenant, his promise with Noah based on our text. Because he established his covenant, his promise with us in Christ. So let's talk about covenant a little bit more. God says in our text, "But I will establish my covenant with you." In Genesis 6 verse 18, not only God established his covenant with Noah, but also he saved Noah and his family. God says, chapter in verse 7 and verse 1, "Go into the ark, you and your whole family, because I have found you righteous in this generation." Because of Noah's righteousness and faithfulness to God, God decided not to destroy the entire world, but he decided to preserve the power of his creation with Noah. It goes in chapter 6, verse 18, the word covenant we found appeared the first time in the Bible. The first time in the Bible. That's why I believe that it is meaningful to us. Because God was the one, not us, God was the one who established the covenant with Noah. We see the story. God was the one who established the covenant with Noah, not Noah. God was the one who signed his holy name on the contract paper, figuratively I'm saying. Not Noah. No, Noah didn't go to God. God, please sign this. Would you please say that? Don't destroy me. Can you promise me? No, it's not happened that way. God was the one. God was the one who established his holy relationship with Noah and his family. In other words, from Noah's story, we see that Noah was the one who received all the benefits, blessings from God. Now, Noah's story reminds us of the covenant that we know. God has made a covenant with us in and through Christ. And in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 22 says, this makes Jesus the guarantor of a better covenant. Because of Jesus' righteousness and his faithfulness, because of his death and the resurrection, because of his sacrifice for our sins, now we have the covenant. Jesus is the guarantee of a better covenant. It's not only in the New Testament, Old Testament, we see the same thing. Jeremiah helped us to understand this special covenant. Jeremiah 31, verse 31 and 34. It's a long verse, but I'd like to read it to you. Behold, the days are coming, declared the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the way when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them. I will write it on their hearts. Keep saying, I will be their God. They shall be my people. In verse 30, and of it, I will forgive their iniquity, their sins, and I will remember their sin no more. Now, from this text, we see that covenant is a little different than the covenant or contract forms that we have in this world. God is the one who established and started the new covenant with us in Christ. That means we, you and me, we are the ones who have received all these benefits, the promise of God, promise of God's covenant in Christ. So by reading Jeremiah, we feel that. We feel that, yes, it's not us, we signed it, we bring the paper and asking God, God, would you please do something? It's God. God signed it. God established the paper. We have that paper. We have the contract paper that God has signed with his own name. And over, God declares from Jeremiah that I will make a new covenant. Not you, but I will put my law. I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God. I will forgive their sins. I will remember their sins no more. It's God, God. That is the new covenant. That is the new covenant that we have now in Christ. God's covenant with us in Christ is unchangeable. Now, thinking about that, after the flooding in the world, and God said to Noah, God gave the sign, his sign, the sign of the covenant, the rainbow. God signed his holy name in the sky. Can you imagine that? And it was and is and it will be the unchangeable covenant. Someone asked me today about North Korea today. Many years ago, we know that the North Korea government promised that they promised they would not make any nuclear weapon based on the nuclear treaty. They signed it on the treaty with many other nations, countries, and the people out there believed that they would faithfully follow the treaty. But now it is believed that North Korea produced more than 2 or 3 nuclear weapons after the treaty. They did not keep the treaty. They did not keep the promise. That is the world. It is true that people in the world, even including us, would easily break and change all the contracts that we have with many excuses. Sometimes I broke my promises with my children. Sometimes we break our promises with other people due to our personal issues or changing our minds. We just simply cancel that. But God's covenant is unchangeable. It's always unchangeable. When God established the covenant, a covenant with Noah, in our text in verse 9, chapter 9, 11, says, I establish my covenant with you, and never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. We see here God says 2 times, and never again to Noah. Can you sense from his saying, his mighty power and promise coming through his words, never again, never again. Now, God's covenant with Noah also reminds us of the covenant of Jesus Christ. God's grace, his covenant in Christ. God's covenant in Christ with us will not be changed, will not be modified or added by something. It's always there, unchangeable. As the rainbow is the sign of God's covenant with Noah, with the world, the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ that we know and we believe on cross is the sign. When we look at the cross, that is a sign of God's covenant with us. When we see the cross, we remember the death and the resurrection of Christ for our sins. When we hear the name of Jesus Christ, when we pray, by the name of Jesus Christ, we are reminded God's covenant for us. His holy and unchangeable covenant with us in Christ. It's not us. We cannot sign the contract paper with God, because we are disqualified due to our sins and our sinful nature. But God has established, he initiated his covenant and relationship with us through Christ. That's why Romans chapter 3, verse 23 and 24, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Paul says again in Romans 5, therefore, because of Christ, therefore, we have been justified by faith. We have a peace with God. Because we are holding God's covenant, we have a peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into grace. It's not all about us, but it's all about God and Christ. We are able to stand in front of God, before God and his throne. We are able to enter his holy place and his holy presence, not based on our qualification, not because we are better than other people, because Christ. You and I, we have received that covenant, unchangeable covenant. We are holding that contract paper in our hands. I think that is really awesome. Think about that. You just made a contract with somebody. That means that will be fulfilled. That is awesome. Just thinking about Jesus Christ, because we have that covenant, that is really powerful. That is awesome. Since God is the one who started, established the new covenant, unchangeable. That means God will never ever let us down. As God says, God loves you and me forever. As Jesus promises, He will surely come back to us. Although I was not able to cancel my cell phone account, I want to change my cell phone service every 2 years. I was able to change my cell phone contract every 2 years when my contract was over. But I was stuck with that company for 10 years. Because every 2 years, they gave me another new deal, a new cell phone, cheap one, and good deals. And so what I did, I kept sign on the contract form another 2 years. No, why not? You know what? God's covenant is different. Once God signed on His contract paper, His covenant with us is forever. His covenant in Christ with us is everlasting. Once He calls you and me as His children, we are always His children, His people. We are covenant people. Once we received His covenant, His promise through Christ, God's promise was and is and will be forever, everlasting covenant. And God says today, text 9 and verse 16, whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth. Everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures. Did you hear God's promise with Noah? It's our promise. Because we have Christ. Whenever God sees the rainbow in the sky, He says, always remember the covenant with Noah. I would ask Bob, turn. I took the picture, I think, a couple of months ago. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm going to challenge all of you and including me. Somehow we all know that and we agree that our church is going through a tough year this year, 2014. We are all disappointed with our church planning project. We have spent lots of money and time and efforts, our prayer, priceless effort, but it seemed it didn't work. Rather, it brings us pain and sorrow and agony, disappointment. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we know that all things happened already. Brothers and sisters, and even we don't know why. We don't know why our beloved pastor, Pastor Perry, got sick and ill for months. This is kind of uncomfortable truth that we all know. Now we see that although Pastor Perry is showing that much improvement and good signs of a healing process, sometimes we ask this question. We don't understand God's plan. We don't fully understand God's wills for our church. What will happen to us? Brothers and sisters, we are financially struggling, our church is. If someone, or including me, is talking about offering money in front of you, we feel bad. Sometimes we feel offensive because we do our job. And we're thinking that why God is not blessing our church. We don't understand. brothers and sisters, maybe in your life today, you are going through unspeakable pains and troubles and agonies. You're trying to do your best, but nothing is changing. Nothing is happening. God is so quiet, and you feel God is a million miles away. If you closely look at your life, you see nothing there. If we see our church and everything, look around and everything, we feel depressed. Surely we feel depressed. That's why we say sometimes there's no hope, no future. And we feel we don't have anything in our hands today. We don't have money. We don't have health. We don't have power. But from Noah's story, I want to challenge you. We do have the covenant. God's covenant with us in Christ. We do have that covenant in our hands. Not we signed the paper. If we did it, that's disqualified. But God signed. Jesus Christ died on the cross and resurrected. He signed that paper. He gave it to us. That's His promise. We have that covenant. As God says, whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant, Genesis 9 and 16. I took the picture. This is the first time I look at double rainbow in my life. I pull out my weapon, iPhone, and click many times to get best picture. And I felt that yes, yes, yes. Maybe we don't have nothing in our hands. Our future, we don't know. But that is God's promise. Since we have that promise, we don't have to worry about. The same thing is true. Whenever we see the cross behind me, we see the cross, we will surely remember the covenant in Christ. God's His holy covenant, His promise with us in Christ. That is the most powerful promise. God will never break His covenant with us. God will never break His promises with us. God's covenant is unchangeable. His covenant is forever, everlasting. His promises with you and me, and with our church, will not change, will be forever. Can you imagine after the flood, Noah and his family saved his life, their lives. But think about it. Nothing remained. Everything was gone. But what God said in chapter 9, verse 1 and 7, two times, God told Noah, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. I thought about that situation. And if I were Noah, and I came out from the ark, and look at the world and nothing there. And God said to me, hey, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Are you serious, God? I don't have anything. What am I supposed to do with this world? But God said twice, verse 1 and 7. Basically, I understood that two verses like that. Hey, people of New Hope, do it again. Do it again. Because we have Christ. Do it again. Not based on our knowledge and power and experience or resources, but based on God's covenant with us in Christ. We can stand, we can do it again, and we can do it again, brothers and sisters in Christ. Let's do it again.
Let's pray. Let's start digging again. Let's gather together and do it again. Let's give our hearts to the Lord and do it again. Don't be discouraged. Christ alone. Christ alone. And Christ alone, who is the guarantor of a better benefit and better covenant. We have that covenant. Therefore, we are truly blessed. Let's pray.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for telling us about your covenant. Not just only your covenant with Noah, but your holy promise and covenant with us through Jesus Christ. That is really comforting our hearts, because we don't have anything, because we are discouraged, because we see there is no hope. Lord, would you change our views? Would you please bless us so that we will lift our heads and we will see your promise over our church, two rainbows, as you promised to Noah. So please encourage and recharge our hearts with your covenant so that we can do it again and do it again, Christ alone, every day. We pray your Son in Jesus' name. Amen.